You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, welcome to Your Mom is a Podcast.
Yeah, we are Cindy Parikh.
And we are Milana Weintraub.
Yes, and we are comedians and actors.
And parents.
We live in LA. We've got young kiddos. I got a five-year-old. Milana's got a three-year-old.
Three-year-old. I'm rolling with the three-year-old.
Yep.
They're cute. They're taking over our house. They're taking over our lives. Mm-hmm. They've definitely taken over our marriages.
Oh, yeah. And still,
we want to do it right.
That's right.
Like, I want more than anything to be a good mom. And yeah. I know you want to be a good dad, and we're prioritizing these things. And so.
And our friendship. We're prioritizing this and our friendship.
And our friendship. Because one of the things that kids do too is they just take up so much of your freaking time that you forget about your friendships. And so we are biohacking that by creating a podcast together where we can hang out and honestly talk about the thing that we end up talking about the most when it's just you and me, which is our kids.
That's right. And our strategy here with this podcast is that we get to interview really cool guests that we love, these authors, these actors, these scientists, these really just people that were like, oh my God, if my kid was this person, we'd be like stoked. But not just them, we get to interview their moms or fathers or their parental figures ahead of time in a sort of a pre-interview. And then we sort of compare and contrast their answers with each other to kind of get to the root of what made these people the people that we so admire.
Yeah. If our kids ended up like Deb Wohl.
Yeah. Wow. That'd be pretty dope.
We would feel so proud. And not only because of, you know, the people that we have on, like we have a lot of entertainment folks on and scientists and doctors and all that. And it's not necessarily that we want our kids to be those jobs. It's that these people also seem to have really cool souls or really great and sense of humors, or that they care purpose. About the world. Yes, they're purpose driven. And in that way, they seem fulfilled. Maybe, dare I say, I hope for them that at least that's what they're projecting. So that's kind of what we're hoping for our children. And so we're talking to these people to be like, how did you get this way? And how can I force that upon my child?
Yes. So thank you guys for listening to Your Mom as a Podcast. You are a part of this journey for us. So please, we'd love to hear your feedback. We'd love to hear your comments, like what you think about these awesome conversations. And if you could, share the show with somebody that you think this would be meaningful to as well, who's maybe going through the same journey. Connect with us on Instagram or TikTok. We're kind of wherever you possibly can listen to this podcast. We're there. So we'd love to hear from you.
And also open a real feedback, like what's working, what's not working. Yeah, give us the real, and tell us, you know, oh, I really loved this. I wish there was more of this. Because
don't be nice.
This is, well, also be nice in your five stars, and then write something constructive in your Instagram message. How about that?
Yeah, I love it. Deborah Ann Wall.
Hello.
Hi. Guess what? I'm going to tell you who you are.
Oh. I've been waiting for someone to life. Do that.
Yeah. This is the
just
moment.
Take it off my shoulders.
This is when you get to find out that you are an actor who has appeared in a bunch of TV shows. Some of your most notable roles include Jessica Hamby in the HBO series True Blood,
yes,
which earned you a nomination for a Screen Actors Guild Award. Pretty amazing. I didn't know that. That's cool. That's like
for the ensemble. Like, so it was all of us together, which was great because it meant we all got to go together and sit at a table together. It was cool.
No, that is cool. That's cool. Yeah. They should. I wish they had that in the Oscars, the Ensemble Award. I think that's cool. You also portrayed Karen Page in Marvel's Daredevil.
Yeah.
The Defenders, The Punisher, and the upcoming Daredevil Born
Again.
That's right.
That's like, I can say that now.
You can say that now. And I can also say that my good friend Omar is a writer on that.
Oh, cool. That's so exciting.
That's exciting. By the way, I don't know if you know this about yourself, Deb, but you are an accomplished D&D player. Yeah, accomplished. That's right. Even
that's
a
the word I, the qualifier is the one I wasn't aware of. Got it.
Exactly. You are like a level 18 D&D player. And you've played in some of the best actual play series out there, often as a DM, which is a dungeon master, which includes Croakle Roll, Relics and Rarities, and Fastral Purple Worm Kill Kill.
Yeah.
And more. Dot, dot, dot. So that's your life. And thank you so much for being on our podcast. We're so happy and excited to have you here.
You're also the mother of an almost four-year-old.
Yes, I am.
Perhaps by the time this comes out, he will be four.
Yes, he.
Okay. And so usually we do a little check-in at the top of the episode that the guest is not a part of. But I actually wanted you to be a part of this because I thought you might help me.
Oh, okay.
I thought we could talk about this together. Yeah. Here is what I'm going through with my kid. So he's about 3.5. And I am gentle parenting the fuck out of him.
You gentle parent so hard.
I gentle parent so hard that he is gentle parented and I am gently absorbing all of the rage that I am not exploding onto him. Do you know what I mean? Like, so he is exploding onto me and I am the brake pad. I am the shock absorber. So, you know, usually when there is a fight, when there is that kind of like energy coming out, there are two people who get to in some way either take turns or simultaneously explode on each other, release the valve. You know, the both the pipes get to be emptied. And I've heard that deer do this, that after deer run from a predator, once they are relieved of the running of the flight from the fright and flight, they can tremble. There's like actually still energy kept in their body that they have to shake out and release. Ooh, there's even tremble therapy that one of our friends has done.
Right.
As a way of like actually getting the energy out. And I have been thinking that as a parent, we never really get to do that. Like, we don't get the stepping into another room and yelling into a pillow, which maybe some do. Maybe I should consider that.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about like, you know, Sandeep's wife sent me a book. Like, as I was going through this, I got a text from Sandeep's wife that was like, how to raise mentally and physically strong boys. Aww. And I was just like, what about me? Like, he's going to be fine, actually. Mm-hmm. I could continue gentle parenting, I think, for the next 14 and a half years. I could do that. I'm just not sure what it's going to do to me, you know? And the thing that I am aware of is what resentment does to people and martyrdom does to people.
Yeah.
And maybe also how toxic it would be to be raised by somebody who is holding it together. So I guess what I'm looking for is advice? Yeah, let's talk about in? Like what is the
I mean, I want you to be able to have your release valve. Ultimately, what are we doing? We are helping our child who has an underdeveloped prefrontal cortex regulate their emotions in a way that will hopefully turn them into productive human beings, but kind human beings. And, you know, so healthy, kind, loving human beings
and high earners,
but people who can are resilient. I think I always come back to resilience, and I have to remind myself that that is the goal of the gentle parenting for me. It is like I'm trying to build a kid that is eventually going to be so resilient that whatever comes his way, he'll be able to kind of regulate his emotions and then like take the next best step for himself to figure out what the next move is and be more confident in his own body and with his own emotions. So like, so for me, it's like trying to remember the purpose, like really, really helps. But I, in doing so, we are forced to reparent ourselves. But I think you're doing the work. And just remember, to me, like the most important things. So A, trying to focus on the purpose. And then B, even when I f up entirely, which I totally will and I totally do, that repair is the tool in your toolkit. Mm-hmm. That is also something that wasn't demonstrated or modeled to us very often. Like really sincere repair. Like I get so, like my kid is a monster in the morning and can't get to anything on time. And we have a crazy schedule, all this stuff. And I'm like legitimately sitting in the car fuming at him as we're driving to school. And I have to remember in that moment, I was like, okay, so what is the one thing that I can apologize for? That's what I do. Where can I come for? Like, just pick anything, even if it's like on the list.
Oh, that's great for my marriage.
Yeah.
What's the on the one scale, thing that just I the can one apologize thing,
even
for?
If it's like, he did 40 other things that are so much worse. He like literally hit me in the face with his dirty covered shoe. Like that is so much worse. Like he should apologize for X, Y, and Z. But like maybe I can just apologize for being like scaring him when I screamed, hey, it's incredible what I'm seeing now with a five-year-old, how quickly he now diffuses his where he's at because he's also maybe ready to be combative, diffuses him a little bit. And now he's also coming back and being like, hey, I'm sorry, hit you in the face with that shoe, you know? And it's just like, we get to those like really beautiful moments. So I feel like that's the other piece for me. But now, Deb, please.
I mean, I think, you know, for one, I kind of want to acknowledge that maybe because of how I was parented or just my base chemistry, I don't often feel my temperature rising in the way that you are describing. Mm. I don't find myself triggered a ton. But I'm also going to offer this. I think that, you know, you talked about modeling and things like that. And I don't know. I mean, I don't necessarily prescribe to gentle parenting or in that sort of terminology, but that's probably what we're doing on some level. Mm-hmm. But I also think that like resilient kids are not kids who are never going to feel these things that you're feeling. Mm-hmm. They're kids that are going to feel them and need to know how to deal with them. And some of that, I think, is them seeing you deal with it. I don't think it is always about going in another room and hiding how you get over it. So for me, when I feel even just the littlest inkling of something starting to come up, and this might be why I don't go further down the road, I say, hey, you know what, buddy? I'm frustrated. Mm. I'm feeling really frustrated right now because, you know, we have to get to school and we can't go until we get your shoes on, right? Like start there and allow it to say like, hey, what are you feeling? Like, are you frustrated? Why don't you want to put your shoes on? Like, something about my being honest about where I am allows him to be honest about where he is. And sometimes he doesn't have an answer, right? Like he's not even four yet. Sometimes he's like, I don't know, or I just don't want to, or, you know, but at least now we're talking and it's not a conflict.
Does your child sort of try to raise the stakes? Like, because my kiddo will see what I'm doing. I feel like he is like sometimes just playing chess and just be like, yeah, no, I kind of see what you're putting on here. I get that you're trying to gentle parent me. And now I'm going to like scream the worst obscenity that I could possibly think of. Like he's now saying just wild to me. And he knows that we don't like it, but also we're like not trying to vilify it too much. So that we don't want to give it too much power. We kind of like mostly, you know. And so, but he will do things, you know, like that. That is really like almost vindictive, because he's like testing, and I'm wondering maybe your child isn't sort of built this way.
I mean, all kids are different, right? All parents are different. I would say my kid doesn't know obscenities yet, but like he knows what a cigarette is, and I hate cigarettes. They just disgust me.
He doesn't swear. He just pulls out a pack of cigs and like lights one up. He's like, hey, mom.
Well, he will say things like, I want a cigarette. Cigarettes are good. Cigarettes are yummy. Yeah, okay. Because he knows it'll get a rise out of me. And, and there's definitely a personal part of me that goes, I get worried. I immediately get personally scared. Am I raising a kid who's now going to smoke because of this thing? And I have to go, no, he's trying to get a rise out of you, right? Because he's smart, right? Yes. And so like, can I twist my perspective of it and go, oh, this is happening because he's actually an independent, smart kid, right? Like, this is happening for a good reason rather than necessarily what our parent brains want to do, which is, oh, this is happening for the worst reason.
So then you smoke a cig with him and—
Exactly, and then everything's good.
I love that framing of like, they aren't being manipulative. Mm-hmm. They're just being smart.
Yeah, it's just like any other toy, I think. And that like depersonalizing things, obviously, like any therapist will tell you, kind of like taking that step back and going, this is interesting, rather than how, you know, kind of being curious. I think curiosity for me is always a way out of situations. How do I get curious about it? Why is he saying this right now? Why is he doing this right now? Why am I responding this way right now? But I do think that that's all really easy to say, and it is so much harder in the moment. And I do want to acknowledge that I for some reason was born with a very deep well of patience. It's just something I naturally have.
And not to spoil the episode, but we're going to find out, I think, why in this interview.
Why I have a deep well of patience?
Oh, no. I mean, or like, I think, you know, it's like, hey, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, as our producer said in the pre-show. That's part of why we're doing this too is, we got to talk to your mom about this stuff and really kind of see how things translate from generations.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So let's get on with the show, shall we? Let's talk about Kathy Wohl.
Yeah.
Or let her talk about herself.
I am one of six children in the middle of six, five brothers and sisters. My husband also is a middle child and of three. So I think that probably explains some of the attraction, but we also knew each other when we were kids. Our families knew each other. Our sisters were good friends. Our brothers were good friends. I did not like him when in eighth grade. But I have since taught eighth grade, and I can tell you eighth graders, you know, that's kind of common. I moved away across the state from Buffalo to Long Island, and I grew up and he grew up. And after college, we re-met. And we had both changed enough that we found we were attracted. That took a couple of years, and then we got married, and we ended up, after 2 years in Buffalo, we ended up in New York City. My husband was pursuing a graduate degree there, as well as starting to work in architecture. And I came back to teaching, taught at my children's school.
Felt like we were on a cliffhanger there. Yeah. So
was that it? Okay. Well, I think there is more to that because she did teach at our school for like a little bit, but she ended up teaching many, many years at a different school. So she has a long history of being a English and history teacher, department head, all of that cool stuff.
Yeah. Like, so you're kind of the product of an educator and an architect.
Yes.
It's pretty cool.
That makes sense as to how you became a dungeon master, too.
I fully agree. There's totally a lot of architecture and dungeon mastering, and definitely a kind of professorial role often.
Oh, totally. So much teaching for
and new
players.
And English and history. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. So we asked your mom, you know, how she would describe your relationship to each other, or her relationship to you. Why don't you tell us, in your own words, like what's your relationship like with your mom?
I think it's really evolved over the years. I think when we were younger, like many daughters and mothers, we butted heads a bit. She and I are very different in how we approach the world, even though I think we look a lot alike, we sound a lot alike, we have a lot of sort of external similarities, but internally we just approach things very differently. She's extroverted. I'm introverted. She's, you know, English and history. I'm math and science. She's, you know, Mulder. I'm Scully. You know, like we just have.
Oh my gosh. I want to see that reboot of the X-Files. You and your mom. That's what I want.
I mean, most people are Mulder and I'm Scully in my life. I'm always the Scully. But yeah, so I think we, you know, through all of that, we had some tougher times when I was younger. Again, like very normal parental growing pains kind of stuff. But as I've gotten older and kind of moved into adulthood and professionalism and being a woman in this business and in this era, I don't know, I feel so close to her. Even like having seen her grow older and I see my features on her face and I know I get to go, oh, I'm so excited. I always say this, you know, like they talk about like, oh, you know, don't make that face. It'll get stuck that way. And they're talking about frowns and whatever. But like, I look at my mother and she's got these beautiful smile lines and, you know, I just, it's like the happiness and the joy that she brought to her life is just etched in her face. And I'm so excited to just look more and more like her as I get older.
That was beautiful.
Cool. I mean, she's so nice and she's so just kind of fun. And she doesn't, the thing that I admire about my mother that I don't have, that I hope I will learn and like lean into, is she is unashamed. There's just nothing in my experience with her. I mean, she would probably say differently. I'm sure she has insecurities, but when I view her, like she dances at every wedding.
Yeah.
She sings out loud, even if it's off key. She gives gifts without any expectation of them liking it or not. Like she just gives it out of her heart. And I don't have that. I'm terrified about everything and being judged about everything. And so
are you still like that? Is like, cause it sounds like you're okay. You still feel, so you are not a dancer at weddings. You are not a singer out loud at, that's still
no,
a thing.
No, not without preparation.
just so interesting because you're obviously a performer, but I mean, then you also do D&D, which is like super improvisational and you have to be so reactive and
you have to be reactive, but there's preparation and all those things as well. Cause preparation to me, and maybe this is getting off topic, but, preparation to me is not necessarily about nailing things down or, you know, mimicking something you came up with at home. It's actually the opposite. I just read a thing that really meant something to me, which said that like, for most extroverts, and really most people, I would say, they're their most authentic self when they're spontaneous, when they don't think about it, when they just go with their gut. But for me, my first instinct is always ruled by fear or obligation.
Mm.
So I'm actually more authentic when I can take time to reflect or prepare. So when I have time to kind of push past the fear and think, what do I really want? How do I actually really feel about this? Can I drop in and give that some thought and some time? That's when I'm more authentic because my gut reaction is, oh my God, okay, yes, whatever you say. And that's not real, right? So I'm, as an introvert, as whoever I am a more authentic person with preparation and reflection. So even with D&D, a lot of preparation goes into that so that when the spontaneous moment comes, I already know what my baseline is.
You have like a sort of invisible structure to rely on.
I've already kind of considered
some possibilities and you can go places if you feel stuck or something
what,
like that.
What feels like the right vibe. And so then I have a little bit of a guide, a little bit of a will-o'-the-wisp to follow when that moment comes.
Milana, this reminds me of our classes with Jerry, our stand-up teacher, and how he talked about sort of the invisible structure of stand-up that allows you to be, I don't know if that's resonating with you. Like he talked about like, you know how like actors, if they're like portraying Jesus walking on water, that like they're like what in reality there is a structure underneath that, but it like gives the appearance of this like miracle that's happening. And it's like sort of like having that structure below it allows for that miracle.
I wonder how you prepared for this then, because I would say that you've already given me life-changing advice that didn't feel like it was coming out of fear or obligation. but maybe that preparation is just like doing self-work.
I do that.
You said you didn't listen to it to an episode. You were like at the beginning of this, you were like, I didn't listen to an episode. Sorry. And you're like, so that's a great question.
Part of not listening is one, just like time is a thing. And we have so little of it. But also some of it is, I'll get in my head. It's better if I sit quietly with things and just, again, preparation isn't always research, although I do a lot of that, but it's just sitting with yourself. So I do genuinely, you know, I have sat in my car while I'm, you know, need 20 minutes to drive from one place to the next. And I've had conversations with my son in my head, but out loud by myself in the car is really what I'm trying to say, that I won't have with him for 10 years because I just want to keep going over and over again. I want to find the way that feels authentically true to what I'm trying to say. Cause you know, I don't, again, like I might not say that I'm a gentle parent just cause I don't know all of that entails, but I want to be accurate and honest and compassionate with my kid. I want to be a good listener with my kid.
Yeah.
So I just want to sit and go, when he asks me a question about something, I want to be honest, accurate, and age appropriate.
Wow. This is such juicy, juicy stuff. But so I'm going to try to bring us back to our invisible structure.
Mom.
No. This is phenomenal. This is exactly what we want the show to be. So we did ask your mom like how she would describe your relationship. So let's hear what she has to say.
Oh, boy.
Right now, it's very close, I think. I think of her as a friend. We do puzzles every day back and forth. But I think when she was a teenager, we had our differences on the way we saw things. I came to see her way of seeing the world, and I think hope she came to see my way.
Well, it's interesting that you both acknowledged in your answers, like this teen time or this challenging, quote unquote, typical, mother, daughter, tough time. And we have more questions about that we asked your mom, but just sort of curious. It was just like interesting that you both acknowledged that.
We both experienced it.
Yeah. And you both expressed like, it sort of gives you a sense of like, oh yeah, this was a journey to get to this place where you are now friends who puzzled together.
Yeah. Is there a moment that sticks out to you as a time where you were not on the same page?
Yes. I remember there was, I started doing theater in school, I knew my whole life that storytelling, acting was what I wanted to do since before I can remember. And so high school theater was a very big deal for me, and I took it very seriously, and I was very lucky that the teacher that we had in high school also took it very seriously. It was not just an extracurricular. She expected you to come and be prepared and care about it in the way you would care about any other subject. And so I did, and that served me well. But a lot of other kids, understandably, now that I look back on it, were like, this is an extracurricular activity. Like, why is so much being sort of expected of me in that time? And there was kind of a movement among the parents to kind of get her to let up. And I didn't like that because I didn't want her to let up, right? Like, I was so deeply inspired by this woman. Like, if I ever win an award, I will thank her on the stage because she is an enormous part of why I am where I am today. And to me, it was the same thing as going like, well, the chemistry teacher shouldn't expect them to get A's, you know? Yeah. That was my feeling on it. But as I look back, I also understand the other side of it where other kids were like, I'm not going to be an actor, but I wasn't going to be a history professor. You know, it's like, it's just those different, viewpoints.
And so your mom's perspective on it was what? Yeah.
She kind of joined in the bandwagon with the other parents that, she shouldn't be so hard on the kids or expecting so much. And I felt like, but I'm your daughter and I'm saying that this is how I feel about it. And so we had a little butting of the heads there of she was trying to do what she thought was best for her daughter. And I was telling her, well, I'm your daughter and I think it should be something else.
Yeah.
Again, it was a moment, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was just going to say that do you promise that you guys didn't share answers beforehand?
Yes. Are you kidding me?
You promise that you crossed your heart?
That's hilarious.
Like, you really like, because I don't know. It seems like it could be a lie. All right. Let's play the tape.
In high school, she was already very much into acting. She was dedicated to it. She was come home and rehearse and rehearse and rehearse for school plays. The drama teacher that was new, I felt was not a good teacher. She was too demanding and she was too expecting too much of the kids. Now, Deborah was fine with that. But as a teacher, I was like, they're kids. And so we had a couple of back and forths on that because she was sort of defending the teacher. And I was like, I don't think that this is not the way a teacher should react to kids and the way what she should demand of the kids. So we had a major falling out about that discussion. I don't think it resolved particularly at that time.
That's hilarious.
It's like verbatim. So definite gold star. Congratulations.
We would win the newlywed game is what I'm saying. Uh-huh. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
It reminds me of the movie Whiplash. I'm not sure it wasn't that extreme, but it's like that. It's that thing of like, I wonder about that as a parent, honestly. Like, because I had gymnastics teachers. I was a gymnast growing up that were coaches, as they were called, that were really, really tough, strict. I mean, also my main coach was actually rather kind, but still in that he was still a gymnastics teacher that would, on your toes and push him down, and poke fun at you if you couldn't take it, or like, if we had forearm splints you know, runners have shin splints. We had forearm splints from doing pommel horse. And if we ever complained about them, he'd be like, okay, do 100 circles, which is like getting up on the pommel horse and doing 100 circles, power through the pain, which is like, to me, honestly, now looking back as a parent, kind of psychotic, like horrifying to think that like I'm more like when I send my kid a gymnastics class as a 5-year old, it's all cute and fluffy, but I know where it's headed if he really goes down this path, and so I really see both sides of this of this argument, and especially as your mom, as an educator, right? Mm-hmm. Like she's like, because you phrased it as she joined the chorus or the bandwagon of parents. And she phrased it as like, kind of like, I saw this teacher as not being a good teacher from her perspective.
Yeah, from her perspective. I mean, there were a lot of parents that were also talking about this. And I was kind of like, that's because their kids aren't doing well. They're not trying, you know?
Like, they're not listening to her.
They're not listening to her. They're not trying, you know? And I think, I mean, it depends. You know, I think to me, it is ultimately... And maybe this is, you know, to the sort of theme of your podcast, one of the things that is very important to me as I parent, it is about listening to your kid, that respecting the intelligence that your kid has, and that they on some level know what they want and what they need. You are the adult and you know better in some circumstances, but you know, like, yes, don't play with knives, you know.
Sure.
But when I know when I'm 16, 17 years old, I think I get some say in how my life is impacted by my parents' actions. Especially
what about when you fundamentally disagree? Like what? Like what about on something like, I don't know, smoking cigarettes? Okay, that's not a good example.
because that's the obvious one.
That's obvious, but I guess like you know, I feel like. Because I just feel like this is going to be a challenge for us, you know, whether we want to admit it or not. It's going to be we're gonna get to that moment where, and sometimes we do, and it is like playing with knives right now, or something that seems obvious, like, hey, you definitely can't do that. I am the parent, and I am in charge of this of your safety, so I have to do this. But what about that gray area? Like, how do you think about it?
I mean, again, I think accurate, honest, age appropriate, right? Yeah, and you have to allow that when your kid is 16, they're not 4 or 5, right? At that point, they I don't know, they do. And I'm even at 4, where he can have a say, I try to give it to him.
Sure.
For sure.
And I try to ask more questions than make assumptions.
Yeah.
There's this other interesting thing I heard. This is an acting theory that I've always liked, which is that, you know, language is actually the worst and least efficient way to express how we think and feel, right? If you think about the words, I love you, they don't even come close to saying what we mean with them without you putting the feeling into it, whether you are a person or an actor, right? It can mean a million things. It's different when you say it to a child, to a lover, to a parent. And what you'll notice is at these pinch points in development, so like when you're little and you say, I want a cookie, very easy, very clear. But then you start to, you right where our kids are right now, you start to have more feelings, right? Well, I want a cookie now, or I don't want to have to wait until after dinner. But your language has not caught up. Your ability to infuse your language with what you mean has not caught up. So you're just with, you're left with that.
Yeah. He's not like, I want agency. That's what
I want agency, right?
He really wants what he wants. Yeah.
And same thing as a teenager. Yeah. That's why you hear teenagers saying things like, you don't understand me. You don't get it.
Yeah.
Because we don't know how to, we're having bigger, more adult feelings and a greater intellectual understanding of what we need and want. But again, our ability to kind of express that
the vocabulary
has not caught
up. There.
And again, per this theory, they say it often happens again where we talk about midlife crisis, where we start going, oh God, like someday I'm going to die, or I have to take care of the people around me. That is an extraordinarily difficult and trying, pressure-filled moment. And again, our language and our ability, our wisdom to express that meaning has to catch up with what's happening. So we have these pinch points.
We're always behind. Oh, man. Oh,
will you be my best friend? So you're fired. Deb, will you be my best friend?
Cool. That's why I got someone to pass the mantle to. You're now the co-host of this podcast.
I love the way you weave the things you have read and the things you're passionate about together to create your or to express your life philosophy. It's really beautiful.
Thank you.
I hope you do. I hope you do teach or
what, yeah. What did you call
write
that?
Books or
you said
constructive daydreaming.
That is your. That is the title of your self
of my acting book.
Oh, 100%. Daydreaming. I would buy the out of that book. All right. So we asked your mom.
Okay.
What's because clearly you're a pretty good doobie, but we asked what was the biggest amount of trouble that you got into growing up?
I'm so square.
Yeah. What'd you do?
Trouble.
You like overly sharpened a pencil.
I mean, this is so fascinating for me too, because as someone who is fear-based, I am always terrified of getting into trouble. I'm so afraid of getting into trouble, amazing. Despite the fact that I have never been in trouble, really. I think part of it is because I've never been in trouble. I've never survived being in trouble. Like I've never really gotten in hot water and then come out the other end able to move on. So I don't resilience. Even want to get close to it, right?
Yeah. Proof of resilience there.
Honestly, so in my pitch of us becoming best friends,
yes,
I will also say that I'm really comfortable
with getting in trouble.
Okay. Yes.
This is why I'm best friend. This is why I love Milana. She's so fun at getting in trouble with. She's so fun in it.
and I do think I can get away with a lot. And I have a very like, what's the worst thing that can happen? Oh, that's the worst thing that can happen? Well, that's fine.
Yeah,
like that's just very built into my natural problem solving.
100%.
And confidence.
Right.
And so I'm just saying, I think I have a lot to offer.
She's a big leap before a looker, but like such a smooth, like I will talk my way. I will charm the out of this. Like whoever's coming our way.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Leaps before looking, but still lands gracefully. I'm impressed.
Oh, yeah.
It's not bad.
100%. Yeah, you guys would. Okay, new X-Files. It's you two. And then your mom's like more of like a guest star. Okay, amazing. So what was the worst?
Gosh.
What do you think? Do you ever get a detention? Ever get a...
not really. At least not much that I remember.
Yeah.
Okay, we can hear what your mom said.
Yeah, what did she say? We'll see if I can remember what she's talking about.
It's only been in the last few years that we understood that she was being bullied during like a middle school. Probably by high school it was over, but I think middle school. And she never told us. And she recently told John Bernthal on a podcast all about it. And he said, well, what did your parents do? And she said, I never told them because I know if I told them, they would make a big, we'd go to the school and we'd da-da-da, and then it would be worse. You know, then the girls that are doing this would... So she wasn't in trouble for anything she was doing, but she was being hurt. And then she's since then has done PSAs and, tried to help.
I love that she couldn't answer the question, but flipped it and reversed it in this really beautiful way. I think to get to an interesting topic that we wanted to talk to you about, which is I think that people who look upon, actors that they admire and shows that they love never, who are like leading ladies who are crushing it, like probably can't imagine them as people other than like the most popular kids in school and never being bullied and stuff like that. So it's awesome to hear how you come out and be vulnerable about this stuff and talk about it. So I'd love to hear you kind of do that for our audience right now.
I'd like to first clarify, I've told my parents long before I told John Bernthal. So they didn't hear about it on the podcast.
Got it.
I did share with them ahead of that.
We probably didn't play that section of the clip, but she was more talking about like there were certain parts of it that she didn't hear until that podcast. So,
some of it is, your parents love you and that they would be devastated and hurt to hear that you're hurt. So like, especially now, I don't want to hurt them, right?
Yeah.
And I know that it would hurt them to hear some of what I went through. And at the time, and again, it goes into maybe some of this like listening to and things like that, you know, because I knew that my mother was extroverted. She was a go-getter. She was a solve the problem. She's, you know, that very kind of unashamed, right? She has no, the consequence doesn't matter as much as doing the thing that she has to do, which again, I deeply admire about my mother. And I hope that I learn to be more like that. But as someone who is deeply afraid of consequence, and because of the bullying, I have a very difficult time separating even just small, like little embarrassments with deep shame. It just feels deeply shameful to me, deeply embarrassing, even just tiny little things. And so at that time, like, you know, as she expressed, part of the reason I did not tell them is because I knew, regardless of how I felt, they would do something about it. And I knew that if, again, whether I was right or wrong, I knew in my middle school brain that it would make it worse. And I, to this day, still sort of believe that.
We're going to talk about this more, and we actually have a sort of a follow-up to this question that we asked your mom that I think will play into this pretty well. So we asked her, like, what's it like to, as a parent, to hear about that story or hear about this stuff so many years later? And sort of like, you know, why do you think
she was bullied? I'll say that. Yeah. I mean, I feel bad about that. I do, you know, it's not an easy thing to admit that I kept that from them.
Yeah.
And I don't, and my biggest fear, and I want to be really clear about this, and it's part of what I, because what I really, what I said to John Bernthal when he asked me that, when I said to John was, they're off the hook because I didn't tell them. I don't want anyone to think that they didn't handle anything the right way, or that they, my parents are exceptionally great parents. I really am very lucky and privileged and grateful for so much of what they provided me as a child. And this was a way that I was going to control my destiny, have some say and some choice in how this went down. Because again, I just knew that if I told them, I would lose some of that. I would lose some say in how this was handled.
Yeah.
And I was too afraid to give that up. So I stand by that decision. And it comes back a little bit to what we were talking about earlier about us being triggered when our kids are triggered or things like that. Like, you know, my son has come home from school some days now being like, well, this kid said they didn't want to play with me, or this kid threw sand on my toy, or, you know, little things like that. And I can feel my, I'm so scared for middle school with him.
Yeah.
I can feel my blood pressure rise when he talks about that. And the first thing I say to myself is that's your problem. He's not expressing.
Not his trauma.
Not his trauma yet. He's not expressing that yet. That's me feeling that rise back up. I don't, I don't put that on him.
Right.
So I very intentionally am going to have to continue to have those conversations with myself in the car about how my genuine feelings are and what it comes up. Because I don't want to assume, again, assume that he's having the same experience that I had, even though that's immediately what's going to come to mind.
100%.
How do you respond to him when he says something like that?
So my response has been, people need space. You don't always want to play with people, right? That's okay. Give them some time, some space. Maybe they'll want to play with you later. Maybe not, but you can find someone else to play with. Like, keeping it light, not making it a problem until it is a problem, right? With conflicts like throwing sand or something, I say, well, you tell them, no, I don't like that. Please stop. And if they don't stop, you go get a teacher. You know, I mean, I think we all kind of know the answers to these things.
Is it okay that I call you Deb? I just realized.
Yeah, absolutely.
That I
didn't
do it. Okay. I am doing this thing with my kiddo at 5 now that I think you're going to love. And I've been dying to say this to you. So I've been playing D&D with my child.
Yay!
Story dice. And part of what I do is when he has those moments where, like, really tough moments where I don't want to be friends with so-and-so, or they said they don't want to be friends with me, I play it out in the game. Mm-hmm. Literally, mm-hmm. Wow. I'm like, here's what happens
Fantastic.
To King. Here's what happens to King Kiddo. This yeah. game is that all of your friends, you're hanging out, and then your best friend Calvin says he doesn't want to be friends with you anymore. What do you do? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. let him sort of play it out. And he's like, well, I want to ask him why. You know, and you're like, okay, cool. So you ask him, and like, I just will play it out with 100%. Him. And it's so incredible how he will work out, or if he's the perpetrator of yep. the bullying or whatever, he yep. will work out what, once it happens to him as a character, he will then work out like how he should be, like respond yes. to that stuff. It's really such an amazing tool. Such an amazing parenting
absolutely.
Tool.
Absolutely. Again, it's that giving, it's armor, right? It's giving them prepared belief systems and confidence. And oh, when that happens, I know what to say. I'm not right. blindsided by it. I know how I feel and what I want to share. And you know, there's going to yeah. get more nuanced as the years go on. Right now, it's very easy. Most four-year-olds, you know, 3-4-year-olds are just like, not right now, you know.
Yeah.
And you move on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think our producer, rightfully so, really wants us to play okay. the answer.
Yes.
What was it like for your parent to hear mm-hmm. about so many years later? Yeah.
I always knew her to be somebody that would, what I call, pick up the strays. Like anytime a new kid came into the class, she would befriend them. Now, I think that was her trying to, you know, find friends from these, because these other girls were obviously the mean girls. She was trying to find friends, and she had a good friend. One girl was her friend for many years until she left Deborah for the other group. There are the kids that are what she calls too cool to laugh. And then there were the theater nerds that she'd already started to get to know, laughing and having a good, and she just, I'm joining the theater nerds. And then that got her through high school, you know, and she was loved and accepted and, you know, by those kids. But there was that time where maybe she wanted to be part of the cool girl, mean girls, but she couldn't join them. She would say it this way, I think. She wanted to skip down the halls, you know, so yeah. they were putting her down for doing that, being nasty.
Can I just want one thing I just want to comment that I've noticed is like how beautifully obvious this career and creative path has been for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that it's a thing you already knew you wanted. And then for like high school to be like, do you see how clear it is that these aren't your people and right. these are? Yeah.
Right.
Like that is such a beautiful gift that the yes. universe has given you. I feel like so many artists are like, can I, should I, is it right? Yeah. And for you, it's always been like, this is it. Not only is it fun and fulfilling, it's also the safest place you
also
could possibly.
Also kind of saved my life several times. Yeah, absolutely. One, and not even just for the arts. I know so many of my friends who like didn't know what they wanted to do, went to liberal arts college, paid a lot of money, got in debt, still kind of didn't know what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And like, you know, everyone has their own journey and they'll find it later or several times over their lives. But there was a security in being like, no, this is it. I just
yes.
know. And every choice I make can kind of push me further in that direction if I want it to.
Beautiful.
So that is a very lucky thing. I know a lot of people don't have, you know, aren't kind of.
Yeah, I'm super jealous, to be honest.
I get it.
So, you know, we're running short on time and I want to honor our time together. So we really got to get to this question, which is one we love. So we asked her mom, what do you think the bravest thing that Deb has ever done was? What would you say for you is the bravest thing you've ever done? Now, you talked a lot about being fear-based and having
yes, that's a kind of, hard kind of, question because I
but you clearly don't. I mean, like, obviously, you don't get to be booked on these shows and be a DM and stuff and yes. like put yourself out there without being very
bold
and bold mm-hmm. and taking huge risks and chances. So, but what to you? What do you look back on and go, man, that was a brave, that was holy crap. You like, where did you surprise yourself with your own bravery?
Okay, this is my honest answer. I don't know if it'll be my mom's, but I got taken advantage of financially and I had to sue someone. And that was not my MO. right? Mm-hmm. Mine would be to have disappeared, just kind of gone, you know, and curled up into a shell and just never trusted anyone again. And thanks to my husband and a lot of the people around me, they didn't let me do that. And I had to go to court and I had to sit and I had to tell my story and I had to listen to a judge and all of the things.
Let's hear what your mom has to say. Yeah, because it's not this, I'll say that.
Well, probably marrying EJ. EJ has a congenital eye disease that runs in his family. He was not diagnosed until he was in his early 20s. So the family wasn't aware of it until his younger brother was diagnosed. And then they were tested and determined that the sons exhibit the symptoms of this disease. It's called choroideremia. And the mothers pass it down to the sons. You know, it's that kind of a disease. And yeah. And you will just lose your eyesight over your lifetime. You will go blind. And he's brave because their first date, he asks her to come see him in an improv sketch. And so that's how they meet. She watches him on stage and then they meet afterwards. So he's brave. Once she understands what she's getting into, she's brave. That's incredible, right?
Mom. Yeah, I mean, bravery is always a tricky topic around ideas like this, right? I don't know that I would call it brave only because he's my partner. He gives me everything. And, you know, like it doesn't feel brave in that sense. But I do know there are lots of other people who could be scared off by a diagnosis like that. By the fact that, you know, I mean, look, his life is deeply impacted by this disease that he has. And so therefore, our lives are deeply impacted by that. And, you know, he was very honest about that. We met on Match.com back in 2007 before it was cool. It was just us nerds that didn't want to go to bars.
Back when people were like, like you met online. Like now it's like you met on the apps. Yeah, of course.
That's the only place to meet. Yeah.
You know, he was very honest about it on that site. So you knew before you even met him. And I think part of that was because there were a lot of people who were sort of easily scared off by it. The challenge of having that as part of your life.
Why didn't it scare you off?
Oh, it did the absolute opposite. My husband's older than I am. Because I don't know if you know this about, you know, like 21-year-old boys, but they're kind of the worst.
Minimal experience.
To raise one and
skip over. Yeah.
I'm going to have to hopefully raise one that isn't the worst. Yeah, but yeah.
Look, I'm sure there are many, many wonderful 21-year-old boys, but I was not meeting them. Right. I will say, my first boyfriend when I was like 17 was an incredible person. Just a like respectful, smart, talented, compassionate, all like beautiful, all of the things. And I think that that was such a, I'm so grateful to him, even though those are the things that all people should just be anyway. It just taught me that like men can be amazing. Yes. Right? They can be amazing.
My first boyfriend.
You hear that, guys? Can be.
You can be
it's
amazing.
Possible.
So like when I met 20-year-olds who were I just was kind of like, my 17-year-old boyfriend could do better than you. Like, why am I wasting my time? So I think he really saved me from a lot of really stupid relationships. Because I was taught at an early age. I think, so many of our young boyfriends are kind of like, whatever, man. You know, like they're just not. They sort of make you think like, well, that's the best they can do. So I guess I'll settle, you know. So it was a good lesson for me to like expect like a decent human being. At the time I was definitely looking for someone older and someone who was honest and vulnerable and open and a lot of things that young people, but maybe particularly young men weren't showing me. So when I read the sort of this open sharing that he was giving of something that was deeply personal, and very clearly could be judged harshly, I was just like, oh, this person is interesting, right? This is a brave person.
It's a brave person. Mm.
This is a person who knows who they are and wants full acceptance.
Yes.
And no, at no other, you know.
Yep.
No.
Doesn't want to hide anything.
Shying on that. Yeah. Yep. You know? And I just thought that was very, very cool and very, very attractive.
And not, and also I think this is a theme that comes up a lot. It's self-sorting. Hmm. It does the job for you.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to go through 400 dates where have people run off. Like it does a ton of funneling and sifting for you and a lot of heavy lifting, just being honest.
This is a principle that Sandeep taught me early on in our friendship and we've been friends for like 15 years now.
That's back when she proposed to me to be best friends. So, you know, how quickly we forget.
But we've just recently divorced like in the past 45 minutes.
Got it.
But yeah, it's something that he taught me, that life is self-sorting, that the more you are yourself, the more you are bravely authentic, that people will choose to not be around you.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah.
Because it makes room in your life for the people that like you when you are your weirdest, truest self.
Agreed.
And like you said, Deborah, time is limited. So why spend it with people that aren't going to light you up, that aren't going to want to skip down the hallways with you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You know, the trite way that I've always said it is, water finds its own level. If you just be water, you know, be who you are, you will find the level that is right for you. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, like a lot of times, like I'll lose jobs or, you know, I'll audition for jobs now and they'll go to a TikTok influencer and I'll be like, really? You know, like I trained at USC, RADA, I have 15 years of TV experience as a regular on hit show. You want to be like, that doesn't mean anything. Like, I guess not. But then you go also like, but if that's
what they want,
these people and what they, what they value.
Value. Yes.
Is that kind of influencer scape, then maybe we're not the right fit, right? Then you're not going to enjoy working with me and I might not enjoy working with you because we have different things that we want to do. Mm-hmm. So water finds its level and that job's not for me and that's probably for the best.
Yeah. It's a great perspective to have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just jumping back a little bit before, and we're going to hit the lightning round and then we're good to go. if that's okay. You know, I want, because you described, you're like, I don't think what I did was brave. And I was thinking about that too. It's interesting that your mom viewed it as brave. And I think she's coming at it from like a more like pragmatic, like, well, you're kind of signing up for this and that's a very brave thing to do. But then you describe it as like, no, that's my partner. And I think what kind of coming back to where you're like, I love you is a thing that's impossible to define in the words and the meaning. And I'm just like, maybe it's not bravery. I think it was just love in the best way that you can probably sort of like really authentically feel it or understand it. It's like it opened up this path for you to, for you guys to connect. And you, it was less like, like a athletics check or a skill check. It was more of a perception or insight check that you were able to do on yourself. I'm bringing very D&D terms to this. Sorry, Milana.
It's okay. I get it. You know,
but I desperately want Milana to play D&D. Yes. By the way, I really, really think.
But perhaps her two best friends can make it happen.
Yes, I think we can.
So
make
you
that
admit
happen.
It.
But yeah, but I think that's what I see it as, is like your ability to tap in and be like, this is where my heart's taking me. So it doesn't feel brave. It feels right. And
you find your things, right? Like, again, like, yes, there are things in our lives that are deeply touched by this. And so that we do very differently, you know, that we have to consider and all of that. But again, that's always going to be more heavy on his side. And, my job is to sort of help us make a life together that works for, you know, I'm gonna say all six of us, because we have three dogs, you know, so like, that's our job, right? Our job is, I come with a ton of baggage. It might not be an eye disease, but I come with a ton of baggage. And so we all accommodate for each other, whether it's a disability or just your own individual things. And,
Before Sandeep and I had our own children, when I was asking him if he and his wife would want to have kids, he said yes. And one of the reasons he offered was because he wants to feel the full spectrum of the human experience. Mm. And I honestly only recently have understood why you would even want that. I was like, why wouldn't you only want the only positive parts of the human experience?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you only want to go on vacation? Why wouldn't you only want the candy? Yeah. And I think maybe that's just like a delusion of somebody in their 20s or whatever. But I do think parenthood has given me not only a depth of feeling, but has given me the ability to understand what you were saying, where like, that like, this is almost like my faith now. It's like, it is that like good and bad are, can both be growth. You can grow in both directions. And that is what being a person is.
Yeah.
Is that you are experiencing something that is incredibly hard or depressing or anxiety inducing, but it's also creating an empathetic depth that you might not have had access to before, which feeds you as an actor, but mainly feeds you as a friend. And then all of the growth in the other direction, which is incredibly like positive and sprinkly and glittery. And that's very helpful too, as a friend and as an actor and as an entertainer, or as just a person to be in relationship with. So, you know, I almost like feel that this is just, sorry, now I'm rambling because I'm going off topic, but I almost feel that way about this election, is like, it is stretching us in both directions. And there is value in that. There is, it's not all always uphill, but there is so much to gain from witnessing and experiencing the full spectrum.
And I'll just quote my my really good friend, maybe my best friend, Deborah Ann Wool, because she says, you know, if we can find a way to remain curious.
Yes. We asked Kathy,
What
is one big wish she has for you?
Oh.
Do you want to maybe share one big wish you have for her?
Yes. Oh, I love that. My mother does so much right. And by right, I mean like comprehensively so. She does a good job taking care of herself. She does a good job taking care of her family and her husband and staying in contact with her family. Like, it's almost kind of superhuman to me. I am terrible at so much of that and balancing all of that. She's like, I am so bad at multitasking, I kind of don't believe it exists, but she actually can do it, right? Like, actually can do it, and keep multiple things kind of going at the same time and enjoy it at the same time. And so actually, like, asking for like what my hopes are for her, I'm almost like, she's kind of living it. She's kind of living the dream. They travel, they go boating, they, you know, like they have kayaks and they'll just like drive out to Long Island and go kayaking, you know, like they bike, she does yoga, she comes out to visit us and her grandchild. They have, you know, block parties. She makes cakes for kids in the neighborhood.
Goodness,
like, it's crazy. It's a little, like, a lot to live up to. I want to be honest too. Like, I want whatever my hopes would be for her, I'd want them to be suited to her, right? So it's a great question. My hope would be for her, I mean, I sort of want to be like more of the same. Like, I just hope that she can keep that up, that energy up. You know, my parents are in their late 70s and they don't feel it.
I think that's having parents right now going through some health stuff. It's like, yeah, my wish is that, you know, when they're at their sort of that peak joy, that they get to just sustain that. Is like a beautiful wish for them.
I guess that's a hope that I would have, right? Yeah. That as time goes on and bodies are able to do less as they do for all of us, that there's, I hope I can help be involved in keeping minds and bodies active and invested and loving, and that there is health and happiness through all of this end of life transitions.
Yeah. Let's hear what your mom had to say about her big wish for you.
Oh boy.
I would wish her contentment. You know, this anxiety that is probably always going to be around, if that could be damped down, and which I think she's doing better and better at, that would be nice. My mother used to say, don't tell me not to worry. The things I worry about never happen. But if there was some way to kind of have strength and confidence that you will be able to handle anything that does come, know that you have some inner resources or people have your back, or, you know, you will be able to manage. That would be what I'd wish for her.
Oh, I love that. I wish that for me too.
But you know, I hear that wish, and I think all parents, like, I never want my kid to experience anxiety ever. But at the same time, I think, like you said, my best friend Deborah Ann Wool said before, that like you kind of need to feel the feels. Like you need, it's like it sounds like your anxiety, and I wonder, and I feel this about, I should sort of reframe this for my anxiety too, is like, hey, if I can look at that as like a divining rod, right? Like, what is it telling me? What is it like, where is it trying to steer me? Can I at least take the input of what its fears are and not let it take the wheel, but can I just listen to its, like what it's worried about, so I can be more thoughtful and intentional about how I'm going to handle the next part of the journey? So yeah, maybe it's not about eradicating the anxiety, but like,
well, I think that's exactly what she's saying. I think she's saying this extra added on anxiety that does not need to be there, Deborah. I agree. It's still saying something, and it's still worth being curious about it. Yeah. But I think that's what she's saying, is that what I've gotten better at is taking that step back, not having the panic attack, but taking the step back and being curious about it and investigating it. So
keeping its hands off the wheel. Yeah,
keeping its hands off the wheels. I think exactly what she's sort of saying. She hopes for me that as I get older and wiser, hopefully, I'll do better and better at that. So I agree. That's a constant thing I'm always working on. You know, my intentions for this upcoming year revolve. I guess some people might call it being present, but for me, it's more about like letting things go in the moments that I don't need to worry about them. So like if I'm working on a project and I need to worry about that project, fine, I'm allowed to worry about it. But when I'm in bed trying to sleep, my only job is to sleep. I don't need to solve the problem at 2 a.m. So that's my intention for this year, is kind of reminding myself to just worry about things in the time frame in which we've designated them for worry.
We have allotted scheduled time.
Schedule your worries.
just keep them contained to their focused moment. When I'm playing with my son, all I have to do is play
with my son.
Just
play with your son.
When I'm sleeping, all I have to do is sleep. When I'm watching TV with my husband, that is all I have to do. And when I'm at work, that's all I'm focused on. You know, as much as you can be, obviously. It's not as cut and dried as that, but that's my intention for next year.
I love that. Fits right into my, because I do a word of the year thing. And my last year's word was rhythm. This year, I think my word, which is, I now am looking back as like, that even sounds like too much work.
rhythm?
Like now, like my word for this next year is be. B-E. Just be. Stop.
Capital B.
Stop. Do. Stop. Do. No human doing. Just be a human being. Like really try to find that. Just be a little bit more. I love that goal.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Shall we move on to our lightning round?
Let's do it. All right. You have, these are like quick one word answers.
Okay.
This is the part where we're really going to judge you in your relationship.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. So, I have not been keeping track of gold stars really, but, but everything's on the line.
I'm highly motivated by external validation. So I would like to know at the end of this, how
we
many gold stars
have
I
already have. Asked you to be permanent. members of our lives.
Exactly.
Okay, great. Yeah. That's the highest gold star.
That's the highest.
Here's where you can really rack up some, because I will actually keep track now. Okay. So the first thing is, we asked your mom. Okay. Lightning round question number one. What was your favorite food as a kid?
Spaghetti.
I'll just say pizza.
Okay. Close enough. Same general ingredients. Okay.
No way.
Sorry. Not close.
Get
no gold star.
No.
Three adjectives to describe you.
Sensitive, shy, and creative.
Eloquent, intelligent, and emotive or emotional. Maybe say emotional.
We'll say emotional, emotional and sensitive.
Emotional sensitive.
Emotive to emotional.
Yes.
That is perfect.
It's a great pivot.
That's so funny.
You get 1 point for that one.
1 point for that. Yeah. What was your favorite TV show growing up?
Mystery Science Theater.
News Radio.
Oh, well,
you're wrong.
I'm wrong. But she's also correct. We're both correct. But but yes, I did not guess right.
What was your favorite subject in school? I think we can guess this one.
Well, theater.
Math.
Oh, well, math. See, this is the core difference, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Academic or not. But yes, math was my favorite academic subject in school.
Hey, Deborah, what's your biggest fear?
Casually, just
no big deal. Yeah, just
getting in trouble.
Going to a party.
That's not wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
But what if you could skip at
so
the party?
Boring. Oh my god.
What going, if there was like
I love that answer. Actually, going to a party.
D&D at the party.
But that's. I mean, yes. Like I like parties where there's activities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Something to distract you. Something to do. I'm a terrible actor, Hollywood person, because all people want to do is just have big parties where they stand around and talk, and it's loud, and you eat tiny food, and I'm just like, I can't do it.
I love the tiny food. I hate the loud. I'm this person where like, no, can we go outside and just, I can't do the, okay.
You would have loved Sandeep's birthday party though. Okay. It was all games all the time.
That's great. Loved it.
Professional
in the future when we are best friends, now that we're best friends.
We'll play lots of games. Yeah. Are you kidding me? I need more friends that will play board games with me.
Great.
Who living or dead do you think, would you want to have a conversation with?
Shakespeare.
Mark Rylance.
True. That's Shakespeare adjacent. Come on. Like, I chose the dead. She chose the living.
Mm-hmm.
I think I get points for that.
Okay.
Mark Rylance. If you don't know who Mark Rylance is, go look him up. He's the most incredible actor that's ever existed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hey, you talked yourself into it. Persuasion check passed.
Thank you.
What's the best present that you've ever gotten your mom?
Ooh, that I ever got her. One thing we do have in common is I don't like stuff. So I never want like things. But I want either activities, something that I can make or do. And then something that someone made for me out of like the goodness of their heart.
A photograph was taken of her and my mom and me. And she turned it into a painting. There's a way to do that. So it looks more like a painting. We all have the same smile. It's lovely. It's the that is the best thing she's ever given me.
So yes, there's a photograph after I did a play in high school. My grandmother and my mother came to see it, and they took a photograph backstage of the three of us, and we have the same smile across the three of us.
Oh.
And so I sent that
so
photograph
cute.
Into a... like one of those places that can make like a Warhol type thing or something like that. But this was, I don't know exactly what it what the style was, but kind of a pop arty style. And they just, it's cool. Made like an art piece out of the photograph.
Oh, that's so cute. I would love to see that photo.
What is your mom's favorite role of yours that you've ever played?
I'm going to go with one of the plays. So either Catherine or Harper from Angels.
I think maybe Karen Page in Daredevil. Okay.
She went with TV.
And what is your least favorite role?
What is her least favorite role?
What is her least favorite role of yours?
I've done.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, it could have been any one of these terrible little movies that I've done over the years. I mean, she likes the Caribbean. My mother, like me, does not like violence. So I'm trying to think along those lines. But Karen, you know, Daredevil's terribly violent.
It is.
I really don't know. I honestly don't know.
Okay, let's hear.
Let's see what she said.
Maybe the part in Escape Room, Amanda, her name is. She's a war vet.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
That's the thing you guys will talk about later.
This is a fun one because, you know, we got to bring it back to D&D. We asked your mom if she could boost any of your core D&D stats. Wisdom, you know, like the main.
Grasp enough of
she did. D&D I had sort of like, I broke it down
okay,
for her.
Worked through it. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which one would she do for you?
Which would she boost for me?
Yeah, if she could like grant you a plus one to either wisdom, intelligence, strength, dexterity. I'm forgetting one.
Constitution. That's probably not what she guessed, but that's what I was going to guess. Constitution is what I would boost for myself.
Okay.
But maybe wisdom, just to have a little bit more that confidence, that backbone. To support some of the other ones, you know?
Maybe charisma.
I think it's in the same, but I think that's for the same reason, right? Like, yeah. I think
yeah.
Charisma is the confidence part of that, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's what her point is. I just think of charisma as being like, I think of the wisdom is the backbone to charisma in a way.
Yeah, charisma is more like the performance and stuff.
Yeah,
like how I think, right.
The outcome, the end result.
Well, guess
I see max charisma over here.
I think I have that pretty well in check.
You do.
I just need the confidence to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a gold star on that anyway because you persuaded me to basically do so with that.
See, there you go. My high charisma stat.
There it is.
There it is. And what would you boost for her?
Ooh, for my mom? Well, I'm going to say strength because my mom does yoga. She does gyro. She's very focused on like body health and healing and staying strong. And so either strength, dexterity, but in that zone.
Dexterity.
We'll give it to you because you threw it in there at the end. I like it.
Same thing. You know, she's doing
you said yoga.
Flexible. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That feels like definitely a dex thing. Amazing. Okay. So just so you know, you feel good. You got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, because in the lightning round, they're doubled, 9 and then 10. So yeah, 10 gold stars. That's really, stars. Really, really, really good.
Right. I like it.
And sort of
I'm that meme that's like, oh, the coffee barista said my order was good. That's something that's possible. Yeah. To do well at, you know, like, and I did well at it.
So. Yeah, exactly.
You did very well at this podcast.
Yes.
We are so grateful that you gave us this time we genuinely, you made us re-fall in love with our own podcast. So
how was it for you? Just how was it for you to hear your mom and like with this experience?
I mean, beautiful. I mean, all of this is stuff that we've talked about before. You know, I appreciate that we're close enough that there were no big surprises, right? Like nothing that she said, I was like, what? You know, we're close. We understand each other, especially having come from that place where we were butting heads when I was younger. It feels so gratifying to know that we're where we are today.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably a generational trait that you're likely, very likely going to pass down. So
I hope so.
Well, super appreciate you being on here. This was lovely, and I hope we get to games.
And then I guess we'll just catch up for coffee later. Yeah.
Coffee, D&D, board games. Sounds good. All the things. And some trouble, some mischief making.
Oh, okay, wait. Yeah. You're in the right place. All right. Thank you so much, Deborah.
Thank you.
And we're so, so grateful for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Your Mom is a podcast is hosted by Milana Weintraub and Sandeep Parikh. It is executive produced by Milana Weintraub, Sandeep Parikh, and Stephen Hine. Editing and sound design is by Sean Marr. Music by Matt Friedman. This podcast comes from Effin' Funny Productions and Story Mill Media. Be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram and TikTok at Your Mom is a Podcast.
You picked up. Oh, you're in rollers. Well, I just finished the podcast with Sandeep and Milana, and they have this thing where while I'm still on air, they want me to call you.
Oh, okay.
And well, tell you that we finished.
Am I going to be seen?
No, you won't be seen.
Okay. Good.
And but your voice is being captured. Okay. you look great. I like the hair.
Oh, I'll look better. What's that?
But it was so sweet. And they said I got 10 gold stars. Our answers were shockingly, in fact, they thought that I was cheating at the beginning, because not only did we say the same things, but we used the same phrasing.
Oh, well, okay. Acorns and oak trees.
Yes,
know.
Exactly. Apples and apple trees. So there's that. And then there were a couple things I got wrong, but just on like the, not wrong, but said different things,
know,
but on...
Yeah.
Small things. And also it was like, oh, but I actually, we said different things, but for the same reason, which I thought was really sweet.
Yeah. Oh, so, I can't wait to hear the whole thing.
Well, apparently we only got through like half of the questions that they asked you because I talk too much. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I said at one point it was hard on the spot.
Yes.
Remember, and if they could have given me the questions ahead of time, would have been a little more prepared. And they were kind of open to that, but they
yeah.
didn't. Okay. I don't know. Maybe they want the spontaneity.
I think that's part of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I love you. Thank you for doing this.
<You're welcome. laughs> any idea when we will see the final?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. When does it come out? Do we know? Early January.
Okay. Okay.
We'll listen together.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Let's do that.
I forgot you were doing that. Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, go back to resting.
Drying my hair.
Yeah, looks good.
We're going to go, you know, I told you we're going to go to REI and then...
Yeah, you guys have a whole day.
So it's sort of our day with Kristen.
Perfect.
Yeah, but I did get... I did a little shopping around here and...
Nice.
Ready for our big day tomorrow.
Exciting.
So you want us there at 8?
Yeah, 8 to leave at 8:30 to go to school, yeah.
And
I'm just going to make plans, you guys. Don't worry about it.
Okay. And get the key.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now all this is on the podcast now, Mom.
I have a chance to.
I know. We're just going to take the opportunity to plan our day, if you don't mind.
Get the people sitting lined up here.
Okay. Wonderful. All right. I'll talk to you later. We'll make plans. All right. Bye, Mom.
1 your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.